few years ago. The young children that age and Jason's age, I would like them to join us this morning so we can bring them in. I want them to hear the call God has for us all. A few years ago, for some reason, I used to be so spiritual that my pride won't let me learn from certain things, like from movies. I hardly have time to watch movies, I'm just a word. But the Lord started opening my eyes through people recommending, watch this, watch that. And then the Lord will inspire me to watch certain movies. So a few years ago, I watched a movie called The Titanic. And at the end of it, it was an altar call for me. There was a place in that movie where this great ship that man has built, a man has 100% confidence, is the safest thing in the sea. Put all their hope, all their trust, all their money, everything in that ship. It was said, called the unsinkable. So, there was a point, so many crossroads in there that God spoke to me. But the part I want to share with you is at the end, when this ship now started sinking, there were people that were put on lifeboats, and there were those who could not find lifeboats, who were living on a piece, a broken piece of that ship. There was one lying on that ship. There was no hope. And he was crying. There was a cry. He says, is there someone out there? Is there someone out there? Is there someone out there? Echoed. And the Lord started dealing with me. He says, there are so many people out there that we meet every day passing through Walmart. It's hardware, our favorite places we go every day. Of course, in the church. But there are people out there who have put their whole life in this world system and they are sinking. And they are crying deep in their heart because they have no God, they don't know God. Is there hope out there? Is there someone out there? And the Lord says, you don't see them, you don't know them. But that's the reason why I've called you to be an intercessor. See, an intercessor is not just one who prays, but it's one who makes themselves available to be an answer to that prayer. You can run into somebody by the road, or they run into you by the road, or somewhere. You don't go looking for them, or you wear yourself out. But through your prayers, God brings you to that divine crossroads. And you become that someone they were crying for. A few weeks ago, I don't know why, we were hosting some guests, and after they left, this movie kept coming to my heart. You need to watch it. So I took my phone and I subscribed for it. It's called Hotel Rwanda. Hotel Rwanda. And I got the message, because it was to intercede. There was a call that God was putting in my heart for a nation. But for us here this morning, before we go into some things, there is this professional photographer that works for a media company, the news company from the West, that went to Rwanda to see if what they are hearing is true. And this photographer broke others and said, I'm going to the weird things are happening. And he went with his camera and he was able to record the reality that was on ground. He saw people chopped to pieces, killed, and he took a picture of it. And he brought it back to the hotel and he showed it to the boss. But fortunately, the hotel manager saw it, went to the photographer and said, thank you. You have captured what the people that can help us needs to see. So when they see this, this will bring help to us. What happened next broke my heart and I wept. Photographer looked at the hotel manager. He says, I want to tell you exactly what will happen. And I'm sorry to say this. He said, when they see this killing, they watch it. They see all these killings. They will say, oh, this is horrible. This is terrible. They will go back and continue with their lunch and dinner. That's where it will end. Last week, we started a message. The GPS is basically the call of God on our lives. Well, as we were sharing yesterday, because when I stand before you, majority of the time, sometimes I'm hearing what I'm saying, sometimes for the first time, because it wasn't coming out of my head. I know when the Lord was sharing with us, and it got to a point in the Word, and he was talking about the difference between disciples and just believers, people in church. While I was talking to you, the Lord was really convicting me about a lot of things. And that's when I realized It is truly disciples that God is looking for. The two stories I just told you is very natural for us to hear desperate cries, or to see things, or to know what people are going through, like what 1 million people were massacred in Rwanda before the world started intervening. And what the cameraman told him, he says, because they don't have anything to gain. You don't have anything to offer. So they don't have anything to gain. So they will see it, go back to their lunch. And it was true. Jesus told a parable about three people that were led by the Spirit. And in that story, that was when I found the secret of a disciple. He told a parable of somebody in church, a Jew, that was trying to argue. And Jesus says, we call it the story of the Good Samaritan. There's a man on the road that was crying. You know, I'm paraphrasing. And the cry was like Rwanda. Somebody will come and help me. God, send somebody to help. Like the cry from the Titanic. God, is there somebody out there you can send to help me? I'm praying to you. Send help. Is there someone there? And God ordered the steps of three people to give help. Two were coming directly from the church. Actually, leaders in church. One was a Levite. One was a priest. God ordered these three people. These two people heard the call, did not know what it was. They came to that place. They saw the need. They didn't go out of their way. It was in their pathway. Evangelism is not, you must be always made to do something out of your way. Jesus, I'll read it to you very this morning. It says, as you go about your daily life, as you go. That's what they came out of church, they were going. And they saw. One of them looked, walked away. The other came, looked more closely to make sure it's not my brother. It's not my physical brother. It's not my sister. It's not a member of our church. And he went his way. That man said, the West, they will watch this movie. They will see the massacre. They have all the capacity to stop it. But because they have nothing to gain, it's not my family. It's not my brother. There's no investment in this. 1 million people died. Horrible. There's a difference when you don't have the capacity to help. But there's a difference when you can and you see it and walk away. But there was another man that was led by God to come through the same way. They were all following the GPS to a need. This man was not coming from Jerusalem, he was coming from Samaria. He was called a Samaritan. And he saw the same thing that the people coming from church saw. But the Bible says there was something the man had that was not in the heart of the others. And he says it was compassion. He stopped. He had compassion and showed mercy and helped the man. First, bound up his wound, gave him something, put him, carried him in his car, and took him to the church. What I'll call the church, a place where he can be discipled, cared for, taken care of, and was willing to do more. There's a lot in that story, but in the context of a disciple, the difference between these people that were in church, these Levites, and that man was the heart of God. So you can understand when we started last week, and after we left here, it was getting more real to me. Oh my God, this is so true. That Jesus, God in the flesh, helped and blessed so many people in Israel. If they need miracle, he gave them. They need food, he gave them. They need whatever they needed. They were blessed beyond capacity. And they saw miracles that the Bible says, if they are written in books, it cannot contain. Meaning, they were not an excuse. And all he had was the first 12 people among all this crowd that says, I am willing to do what you have come to do your way. Twelve disciples. Later, as he continued the ministry, all these people were following him. He was able, somewhere between the beginning and the middle of his ministry, they became 70 disciples. 70 out of thousands and thousands of people following him. God is the only one who sees the heart. And he was able to say, I can only find 70 people that are willing to count the cost to follow me my way. All these other people, they are benefiting from the kingdom. They are blessed. They will make it to heaven. But they are not willing to see somebody else be like Christ. Then, by the time he was about to leave, he appeared to about 500 people. And finally, as if, okay, let me give this 500 opportunity after they've witnessed the most powerful miracle on the face of the earth, the resurrection. Let me give them opportunity. Maybe out of this, I will have 500 people that will go. They will follow that great commission. They will follow. They will be disciples. He ended up with 120 disciples who later, out of obedience, is why we are here today. Jesus came to make disciple makers. He's not against everything, but he came to do his father's business. And the only way that business will grow, he knew it would be with the people who carry the heart of that business. produce that business. And Jesus, in God's wisdom, I don't know why, but there's mystery surrounding it. The first 12 that he called, majority of them were businessmen. I think the message is the kingdom of God believes in profit. And the kingdom of God multiplies through disciple making, souls. I want to read this scripture before we review what to look like last week. Do you know that if every one of you sitting here, if God can find 12 disciples by the standard of heaven, from the studies I've done and statistics, this church will multiply exponentially. In 3 years, there will be no room in this city to fit. If I show you how discipleship is supposed to multiply, you will not believe what disciples can do. So let me read to you the prayers of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, as Jesus was ministering, read verse 35. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their churches, synagogues, preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The need was great, and he was doing it by himself. Then said he to his disciples, as you read now how he called them in verse 10, said to his disciples, if you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will learn a lot about the kingdom of God. The focus is always on disciples. The blessings on everybody. Then said he to his disciples, listen to this, the harvest truly is plenteous. Is great, the other translations will say, is great, but the laborers, the disciples, those that will answer the call to make a disciple few. Here is the prayer Jesus prayed. After he told them this, he went from verse 10 and did it. Luke 6, he went to the mountain and prayed. So after that, it was just too much work. He says, there's a lot of harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth what? Laborers. I've always been praying, God, the harvest, bring in the harvest. God says, no, pray for disciples. The harvest. In the story with the woman with the issue, the woman at the well, Jesus told them, he says, don't say in 3 months, in 4 months, there will be harvest. He said, no, open your eyes and see the field is white with harvest. It's not. The seasons of harvest is when God finds disciples. But the harvest is always there. pray for laborers. Then immediately, chapter 10, he says, and when he had called, Luke 6 says, first he went to the mountain to pray all night, and then he called, he explained. But 10 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, then he gave them power, authority. And then if you go down to from verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles or into any city of the Samaritans, but go you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, if you study that word, means as your GPS leads you on your journey, on your daily life, on your assignments, as you go, God will bring people in your way. As you go, hello, as you go, let's say this is Walmart. Amen. As you go to Walmart, it's not saying be looking for somebody. Because you have prayed. You have prayed for disciples. You have prayed for God to send somebody that will become somebody that you will disciple, somebody that will come your way. As you go, you've already prayed. And we'll look at it, we'll review it. It comes from prayer. God, send somebody in my life today. God, use me. It's not your power, it's not your strength. You're saying, make me a vessel that is available. Use me. So God leads you and somebody runs into your life. It says God does not use, doesn't wait for those who are perfect. He uses available vessels. To the point, if all he had to speak to a prophet one time was a donkey, he used it. He has to get the job done. So, we're going to just review quickly. I want you to have a copy of this, the season we are in. I want you to keep it in your fridge or where you can see it as your vision for this year. Just to remind you that you are God's GPS. So, Bumati will pass this around to you. And I want the media people to help us really quick. If you want to pass out a bundle so they can just pass it around. I want us to review our GPS last year, beginning with a G. If you are, those of you that were not here, we're just going to review so we'll be on the same page. Amen. GPS, like you all know, if you use it, it's something that leads you to where you're supposed to go. Amen? And you program it. So for us, we're using this acronym as a reminder that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen? So G represents the glory of God in our lives, the Spirit of God in our lives. We are under the cloud. We are in tune with God. We are praying. We're seeking God. We're being led by the Spirit of God. The atmosphere of the Spirit of God is upon us. Amen. Then, P, if you all remember, we shared clearly that when God's cloud was leading the children of Israel, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, they did not mix what God was saying to them under that cloud with faith. So many of them were not fruitful. They did not enter their promise. Amen? They perished. So you can be under the cloud and be led by the cloud, but without faith, you cannot please God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we are to walk by faith and not by sight. To walk with God is a spirit. You can't walk with God with natural eyes. So that's why we are positioned by faith. That's the P in the GPS. Now, our focus now is on the S. That's where we parked last week. The S represents souls. Souls. And we discuss how souls can be categorized in two major categories: the saved and the unsaved. The believers and the unbelievers. Amen? Amen. For the saved, that's what we're doing here. Ephesians 3, 4. We are being equipped. We are being discipled. We are being trained to make disciples. Amen? So how do we answer this call to go, to be disciples of Christ, to carry this cross? So under this S, we are choosing this year to intentionally agree with God that we are disciples. And as disciples, God is giving us a strategy how to please God. So, the next, God is opening the door. He says you always have to begin at your Jerusalem and then to your Samaria, to your Judea, to the uttermost part of the world. In today's context, you say my city, the nation, and internationally. Amen? We don't want to go into the international part. We want to really focus on our Jerusalem for Mount Zion. But also, as an outreach of Mount Zion, God is opening some major doors for us to begin mass evangelism internationally. And partnering with the body of Christ nationally for global outreach. Now, I think I need to say this so you know that for us to obey God on this scale, we should not have an excuse. Why? It's because Mount Zion is partnering with national bodies here in America and international bodies to meet this June in Amsterdam to bring evangelists or disciple-minded leaders across the world to be trained and to answer a commission in the next 10 years from now to 2033 for every 8 billion person to have heard the gospel. And they have the strategy. I've been on a lot of the meetings. There are people that are thinking that big. Why is this city too much for us? And so too, Mount Zion is going about two major mission trips this year to host stadium kind of outreach to the lost. Focus is on souls. So for us, we want to become disciple makers in this house. And by the grace of God, I'm telling you, God is already ahead of us. He did not give us this building because, see, Mount Zion is not about putting money ahead of God. Mount Zion has always been following God. And when God says, we're going to do this, he brings the resources. There are projects that are led by money. There are other projects that are led by faith. Amen? Amen. So we've been led by the Spirit, and God provides a place for training for the harvest. To let us know that he plans to bring in the harvest. But now, he says, pray for laborers in this house. Disciple makers. That's why we have this assignment. So, the next slide, under the X, so winning. He gave us a simple, very simple process. Next is everyone invites someone. Amen? Everyone invites someone. One-on-one. Very simple. Again, what's the next slide? Simple strategy. Don't do it in your strength. Don't wear yourself out. Don't do something that will make you feel this is no. Very simple. As you go about your life, as you go about your business, how does that work? First, pray. When you wake up in the morning, You pray for your needs. You pray for so many things. You surrender yourself to God. This year, 2023, to pray for one thing. God sent someone in my life today. Somebody I can help. Somebody I can share the good news. Somebody I can encourage. Somebody I can inspire. Somebody in my life, use my life to make somebody's life better today. Just, you know what to pray. Once you pray that prayer, then leave the rest to God. Amen? That same day, it might not happen. You pray another day. So that same day, nothing might happen. You just keep praying. Make it your prayer. But that same day, it might happen. How will it happen? Somebody somewhere. And that prayer can also be intentional. Do you know there are some of us who spend 8 hours every day with people at work? There are some who spend more than that with a group of people at work. And everybody at that workplace, they are not believers. Why not be intentional about praying for those people in that workplace? You don't have to preach to them. Just begin with prayer. Mr. Brown, Father, give me opportunity to be a blessing to Sister Susan. Father, I pray for Susan. God, bless Susan. Open his eyes for the gospel. Help his family. Help his children. Just simple prayer for those at your workplace by name. If you work at a place you've been there and that's your harvest field, you can pray for them by name and just leave it. But still keep your God, send somebody. One day that one of them will find something is going to happen. You don't have a question. You know this is your opportunity. Your workplace is your harvest field. Begin with prayer. Your grocery place is your harvest field. Begin with prayer. Wherever you go, just simple, number one, pray, God, I'm your GPS, just as I go about what you have for me today, make me sensitive to an opportunity. Make me sensitive to what you are doing. That's all. And go about your business. That's how simple. Number two, your opportunity will come. Somebody will come your way. You care. Care doesn't mean the first thing you're thinking about is money. The first thing you're thinking about is your food. The first thing you're thinking about is problem solving. No. We're going on an anniversary. My wife is also a mission field for me. Amen? If I don't take care of my wife as part of my calling, it's going to hinder my flow. Because God has already made it part of my life. So the Lord spoke to me, says, caring for your wife is a ministry. And be intentional about it. So I have to be intentional about setting times for her to rest, especially on Thursdays. Whatever she wants, I'll make sure I do it. And then occasionally on our anniversary. So as we went on our anniversary, this year, I said, God, as we're doing all this, I don't want to be so earthly minded. I'm not heavenly good. So I prayed, I says, just use us if there's a need out there. The very hotel where we are, we're not looking, we're having just enjoying where we went. We came to go, wanted to go buy food. As we were going to the hotel to take the key, because I said, let's rest here. We stopped by a place. We didn't know it was a smoking place where people, the only place where people in the hotel can come outside and smoke. So we sat there, and all of a sudden this brother came out like that. Amen. Our mind didn't go to, you know, your mind doesn't go anywhere to preaching. The guy came and said, is it okay? Can I be around you? Yes. Sure. He said, this is the only place I can smoke. You know, you already know it's a troublemaker. This is the only place I can smoke in the whole hotel, and I paid how much for this place? We said, sure, you can stay here. So he stayed with us. Now, the Bible says, care, preach. We were not trying to preach. He was like, it's like the Holy Ghost said, "Da, wake up." He's the one now just talking to us, asking us questions. Where are you from? We are the ones that are supposed to be telling people, where are you from, with intention to reach them. Because we're intentional about weakness into people. We should be sensitive when we go do our oil change. How are you? Where are you from? How are you doing today? How's your day? Can I pray for you? We are the ones. But he was the one now going on and on and on and on. After a while, it's like, wake up. This is a harvest. And that's how I entered into that direction. And as soon as I responded to the Spirit, word of knowledge started coming. See, it is not you. The moment you tune into a harvest, the Holy Spirit begins to use you. The things I said, I did not know. He read his mail from head to foot. That was it. Keziah came back from our grocery shopping. He met us there. By this time, this guy is totally repented. Nothing I did. I just realized and yielded. Spirit of God took it from there. Like the woman at the well. The harvest is his. All he wants is a yielded vessel. God had to know. This guy is almost preaching. He's almost demanding. Jesus met that woman at the well while he was going to church. At the well, why? He was sensitive to the Father saying, the harvest is there. And as he yielded, word of knowledge started coming. My brothers, care. That's all I did to that brother. He didn't ask me for money. He didn't ask me. He went seeking for our church. Some people drive Uber. I don't know all the policies involving that. But Erica said, I have opportunity to witness to people every day. As long as they don't complain, amen? But you just have to use wisdom, isn't it? So, Jesus said it, not me. The harvest is great. But he's looking and praying in the church. Can he find disciple makers? Compassion. Compassion is the GPS that is for the soul. So, when you show a little bit of care, you have made yourself vulnerable to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Anytime you show a care to any stranger, you position yourself for the Holy Spirit to use you. And then whatever comes from there, it can be, can I pray for you? How is your family doing? How is that? One thing will lead to the other. And my brothers and sisters, Mount Zion has produced a special card. Very nice. Free of charge. It has, not everybody knows how to win, you know, just trying to preach and preach. We're making it as easy as possible. You can have one of these cards. And all you just need to do is here. Here. It has all the address of Mount Zion. He has our service hours. He has our phone number. He has everything. If you feel it's such a burden to go further trying to witness to them, invite that one. This card will be your call with the Lord today. By the way, let me tell you another thing. This is just a side note. Abraham's son prayed. Abraham's servant, when he was looking for a wife, he says, God, the woman that I will marry, let him come and give my horses drink and give my servants, the people, drink. He went among all these women, only one came and brought water for the horses to drink. That's the power of praying ahead of time. God will cause the right person to come your way. Amen? Now, the reason Jesse, I know you're about to go to the restroom, isn't it? Okay, good. The reason I invited the young people, they are in the midst of a great harvest. They are in school every day. Nobody lets them preach or do anything. Most schools, they pray, but they have the best capacity to fill up the children's church by inviting their friends to church. Yeah. They need friends here. And pair meets pair. When you tell these young people, let's raise funds for a basketball field, the one who raises this, let's raise funds for the band, for the this, they will come here banging every door for everybody to contribute. Amen? So these young people have passion. They just need for yours to guide and give them the support they need. They will invite their mates to come to church. And they will do it happily. And their mates will be glad. Mom, Jesse said I should come to your church this Sunday. The tribe of Benjamin. That's Benjamin there. Amen? Amen. That's the sister there. You go to school, your friends are crying. They want to come to church because they won't preach to them in school. See, you can't just come to our church and be loved. Come, just come this Sunday and see what it looks like. Amen? Amen. Invite them. Take a card with you. They will come with their parents. It's that simple. But the only way it works, like Abraham's son, pray first. Say, God, send the right person. Let me give this to the right person. Let me pray first. So God will order that woman, that man, and you know, and you give them. Sister Janice was saying something very wise last week. Sometimes you might reach out to 10 people. Only one might be positive in their response. That should not discourage you. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? If you go fishing, I don't know how many of you have gone fishing, but I've gone fishing many times when I first came here. Not all the fish that eats your worm you'll catch. But you still keep getting worm there. They will finish you, you put worm, they finish you. But after a while, one of them comes home with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. As you love on people and you show care for people, you can, in a week, you can greet 10 people, 20 people. You can, but one day, one will say, sure, I need that card. One will say, sure, pray for me. One will say, sure, I'll come visit your church. One, it might just be one out of 20 people. Is that what you were saying? So you don't have to be discouraged because they didn't come to church that Sunday. Or you made all effort, they didn't come. No. Let the Holy Ghost do it. You sow the seed. Amen? Amen. But you see this card? Eniola and Daisy, they are going to order about 2,000 more of this. But we can only give you 10. When you finish the 10, we have more for you. Amen? Amen? After you give out 20 and nobody comes to church, you have to print it yourself. I'm just But lead them to the Lord. Amen. So care comes in many ways. Let the Holy Ghost open that door. Then the third strategy, number one is pray. Number two, let the Holy Ghost with you. Number three is share. That's what we just discussed. Share. Amen. Just share. And then when they come here or they come to you, they can come to your home fellowship, they can come to church, they can come. We are now preparing our Sundays after these trainings to be tailored towards loving the people you bring. And we take it from here, from you, and start reaching out to them. Yours is to sow this seed and become a disciple maker. The rest you will hear. Amen. So that's where we are. So this morning, I just want you to have this as a memorial. You can put it in your fridge or put it where you can remember and be praying. Reminds you to pray for that one every day. And when that one comes out of 10 or 20 people, don't get discouraged. And what we shared last week was, if you can commit intentionally to do this weekly, some people have the zeal for it. Erica said, weekly? Weekly is too much. It's too far. I can do it daily. Amen? Everybody's different. Some people say, if you make me think about doing this weekly, I'll start developing fear. Just give me a month. We give you a month. Amen? But let me ask you a question. You see those people in Rwanda, that picture I gave to you, and that Titanic, there are people like that everywhere you go. All God is asking you is, just answer the call. I will be available. And He will send you or send them. That's all this call is about. Every month, if we all are committed to this, you'll be wondering, so why are churches empty? Because you see the results. Churches are empty because disciples are not there. So this morning, if you want one of these cards, that's our call, that's our answer. You can bring it, Bomati. I want you, if you want one of these cards, answer the call. Bomati, take it, just lift your hands and get one. We'll give you one for today, so you, it's an answer, amen? If somebody wants to help, just lift your hands, that will be your answer. You want to, you answering this call to be a disciple. Lift your hands and it will pass one to you, just one. Yes, they will give you one. That is our altar. That's our call to Christ today. Answer to be a disciple. Just lift your hands. Thank you, Father. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Father, I thank you. I thank you for transparency. Father, thank you for those who don't feel like saying, I can do this now. Thank you for their willingness to say, I will wait. Father, I thank you for those who says, by faith, I hear what you have said, and I'm going with it. I thank you. Father, I commit these that have said yes to your hands. I pray for the anointing, O God, a heart of compassion, a heart that is very flexible in your hands. Father, I pray for everyone in this house. Give us that heart of compassion, because that's the heart that you use. That's the heart that is sensitive as we go daily to lead and to encourage, to inspire and to comfort people along our way. We give you glory for this. Use us as we made ourselves available. Like Isaiah, here am I. Use me, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll continue.